You're listening to Breakaway on CBC Radio 1. 22:06 is the time, and my next guest is a local writer whose latest work is set in Cacouna, a few kilometers from Rivière-du-Loup in the Lower St. Lawrence. Now, she transports us through time from the present to the early days of New France. And to talk about her new book, The Cacouna Caves and the Hidden Mural, I'm now joined by emerging Quebec writer Barbara Burgess. Hello.
Hi, Saroja. So nice of you to have me on the show.
Well, it's very nice of you to come in. I love it when new writers come in and talk about their work. And this is a very exciting time, a new manuscript waiting at the publishers.
Yes.
And you're waiting for information. Well, this book opens with a lovely scene of a young woman explaining to her parents that she's going to take a trip with her boyfriend. And the family is struggling to cope because her brother has been lost the year before. So we've got this really strong-willed young woman. And I'm interested to learn a little bit more about her to begin with. Who is that character based on?
Diana, a little bit me, because she's in Montreal at the beginning of the novel, and she manages to convince her parents, though she's 19, to let her go traveling. And as a result, she goes with her boyfriend, Justin, to Cacouna for the summer.
Is that something that you did? Have you spent time up in Cacouna?
Oh, yes. Actually, I've been going there since I was 3 months old. My parents brought me there, and my dad went there during the summer times, and his great-great-grandfather went there in 1921.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have these two characters, and they're burning down Highway 132 on their way to Cacouna. They arrive, and they sort of set up for the summer while this main character is nurturing this loss. Now, in this setup, you've got us there in Cacouna. For people who haven't seen it, what does it look like?
Oh, it's gorgeous. There's a reason that tourists flocked there in the 19th century, and to date, they say the air is like champagne. There's something magical there. It's was known to be like a place of healing. There are also currently beautiful attractions. It's agricultural. It's the village of Cacouna itself is smaller. It's under 2,000 people. And it's just, you know, Rivière-du-Loup, the seigneurie, was established in, I believe, 1673. So it's old.
Yeah, it's old. Now, you don't stay in the present, and I don't want to give away too much of the story, but there is some movement back. Like there's whole sections of the book that take us to the earliest days of New France. Now, this was a part of the world in the middle of a violent transition, a colonial power taking hold. As a new Canadian author, it's a huge challenge to write about that period in time. So let's take some of that apart. How did you learn about the history of the area you were writing about?
Oh, great question, Saroja. Well, I got some history books, and I also consulted some locals. One person, Viateur Beaulieu, whose family goes back to generations, right, to the early days, their first settlers. I think they hailed from France. So he had a great wealth of information and kindly shared it with me. I also spoke to...
When you say that he shared it with you, what did that... Was it over the phone? Were you in person?
Oh, in person. I went down to Cacouna last September and actually visited Cacouna Island. It's a private island, but I know somebody who has family living there. And so I was able to see... The as you can see from the title, The Cacouna Caves and the Hidden Mural, the idea of this hidden cave or series of caves is central to the book. And I'd heard about it in a wonderful journal called EPIC, E-P-I-K, and it's produced locally in Cacouna. And I'd first seen a picture, photograph taken within the cave. And I thought, well, let me see if I can find it. And it was a great adventure. And after having visited Cacouna Island, I actually revised my novel.
Okay.
And after speaking to the local people there and doing more research, I realized I had to rewrite certain chapters and then add certain chapters.
What's something that you decided to take out that you no longer thought was accurate?
Oh, I can't remember. I can tell you that I added a character.
Who did you add?
Emily
okay.
is a girl who hails from New France, and it's an arranged marriage, like Les Filles du Roi. oh, my French is all right, you know, were sent to marry, but then she's just absolutely does not want to get married. And so then she goes to a convent, and then she has trouble at the convent, and she ends up going to Kakuna Island and finds refuge with the Mi'kmaq community then living on the island.
And that theme of refuge and being with the Mi'kmaq people also happens to another character. And I don't want to give away too much, but that sense of going to this refuge and being welcomed is a theme that you see a lot through the book. Why?
Well, the idea of offering refuge to those who are needy and deserving is very current, for one. And I like the fact, actually, in this book, it's the Mi'kmaq community living on the island, which has some historical basis. We don't know for certain, but we know that dating back hundreds and hundreds of years, there were First Nation people living in the area. In fact, it's today a Maliseet reservation. And hundreds of years ago, the Mi'kmaq were known to traverse and hunt, and it was their settlement, their area. But I invented the idea of an actual settlement there. To my knowledge, there isn't one, or wasn't one. But the fact that they offered refuge to the Europeans who ended up in dire straits. There's Emilie, and there's also a French sea captain, and this is in the year 1683. He gets shipwrecked, and people are after him, and they welcome him.
You have a character, Sarah Beaumont, and she says, some novelists write when they don't know what to keep their minds occupied with or how to channel their emotions about chronic heartache. Mm. And there's a lot of moments like that with Sarah. In the beginning of the book, she's reflecting on why a person writes. So it makes me want to ask you, why do you write?
It's a great question. Well, this story in particular, but I think for everything I write, I can mention some of the other books I've produced at the end of the show. I write for the sake of, it's an inspiration that comes to me. There's a discipline. I mean, I'm very regular about it. I can write up to 7 hours in a row. I get very concentrated. But in this case particularly, I felt the story almost asked to be told. What happens with it, I mean, I wish it success, but I actually felt it was a story that wanted to be told.
Okay, so now it's out there in the world. I understand that you've brought a little excerpt that you'd like to read for us. And while you get set up, I'm just going to remind anybody who just tuned in, I'm speaking with Barbara Burgess. She is an emerging author who's just said that she's written lots of other things but has a book sitting on publishers' tables as we speak. And she's telling us a little bit about her story, which takes us back to the earliest days of New France, but also keeps us in the present. There's lots of time travel, lots of beautiful descriptions of Quebec, both in the present and the past. We're going to hear now a little excerpt. Are you you're going to read us? I don't know if you want to give it a bit of an introduction or you just want to dive in.
It's chapter 7. It's called Touch Not the Painting. And the subheading is 1 year earlier, the Montreal Museum of Fine Arts. So this is a kind of flashback. The museum exhibition hall was filled with dappled light and shadows. Matthew heard the sound of voices in the next room. His sister tugged at his sleeve. Get a move on, Matthew. We're late. On his way out, he stopped in front of a small painting of an old sailing ship. One man in the painting had graying hair. The other, a young man with handsome features, an aquiline nose, strong chin, dark hair, dark eyes. Both wore old-fashioned European clothing. My God, that guy looks just like me. How weird. The younger man's arm rested on the ship's wheel. A flag fluttered. The French coat of arms rippled in the wind. Matthew stepped closer to read the silver plaque at the base of the frame. Sir Charles de Beaumont and Captain Mathieu Landry set forth for New France. He knew he shouldn't touch it. How often had Mum told them never to touch paintings in the museum? But Matthew reached out anyway. He gingerly ran his hand along the frame. Suddenly, his body began to shake and quiver, as if an electric current had shot through his arm. He couldn't let go of the picture frame. His ears started ringing, or was it the sound of the sea he heard? The crashing waves got louder. He felt a cool breeze touch his face and tasted salt from the spray of the waves as they struck the ship's wooden sides. Was he still looking at the painting, or was he now in the painting? Realities blurred. Then one deafening roar, and the ground cracked below his feet. The museum walls had vanished.